if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're in Mark chapter 14. We'll be back in Revelation next week. And I wanted to preach a message that fits well with the Lord's Supper today. And I love these scriptures. Really listen to them, because we can get so familiar with a text that we lose sight of its power. And we never want to do that. So I'm in the New King James Version, and the title is after one of the scriptures in our text, but after I have been raised, Mark 14, 22 through 31. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. It's really a powerful verse right there. Each person drinking from the same cup. Same thing we do today in Jesus Christ. And in verse 24, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, now watch this, because oftentimes we just see Peter and his denial, but listen to the words Jesus says. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." And he quotes Zechariah 13:7, and he says, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And Jesus says, or the Bible says, and they all said likewise. So it's not just Peter. Peter was just the first one to speak up about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your grace. Father, apart from the cross and apart from you coming to earth, because of your love for us, we would have no chance of making it to heaven. We would be under your wrath. But Lord, because of the blood and because of your broken body, we can receive you and have life eternal. The greatest gift ever given is the gift of salvation. Lord, we do not take it for granted, and we're so thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might remember, most of y'all probably remember, or a lot of y'all probably remember Woody Rochelle. I loved Woody. Woody has passed on. He's now in glory. And Woody had a bread truck, an antique bread truck that he had bought. Because if you remember Woody was in the bread business. And in fact, I got to go on a tour one time with him and go through where they make the bread, and see it from its beginning stages all the way through its process, all the way to the end result. And then after we got to go through the tour, we went to a break room, and I got to eat fresh bread, literally right out of the ovens. Oh, my goodness. It was so good. Right out of the ovens, and just really thoroughly enjoyed that. And I've got a picture I want to show you. Do y'all remember that vehicle? That's a 1926 Model T, and Woody was so proud of that. I just remember it had a lot of pedals down there on the floor, one for everything. And he brought it to the church one time, and we drove it around. I think Zach had to do all the loading and get it here, and Woody was so proud of that. And he also had I think it was a 1930 coupe that was really awesome. They called it Boo. Remember, Trace, I surprised you at Valentine's Day with that, and we went to Tyler and all that stuff. It was fun, wasn't it? Did she say something different? Yeah, it was. And I was headed somewhere with this bread truck. So the bread truck back in the day, and I didn't know this. I did some studying this week on bread deliveries. Can you believe that all the way back into the Egyptian times, Mesopotamia times, there were bread deliveries? Of course, I've always known there was milk truck deliveries. But they would have a cart back in the day, and if they were in the village, they'd use a push cart to deliver the bread straight from where they baked it to your house. You could get on the list, and you could buy bread direct. Then later, in this day and age, in the 20s, they had these bread trucks, and they would take the bread straight from the bakery straight to your house. Bread was a staple of life. Bread today is still a staple of life. Now, what about spiritually speaking? Thank you so much, Anita, for putting that on the screen. Jerry Noble was kind enough to send me that picture yesterday. And you might think about the one bread delivery that came from heaven. Now, consider this. God saw our need. We were lost. We were without hope. We were starving, we were in famine, and we needed spiritual sustenance. And so Jesus, the Son of God, from all of eternity's past, came in the incarnation to become the bread of life. Did you know that when you look at Bethlehem in the Hebrew, Bethlehem was Bet-lehem, Bet-lehem. Some pronounce it Bet, what was that? Bethlehem, that's right. That's right. Is that little Sam over there? How you doing, Sam? Good for you. Yeah, Bethlehem is what we call it today. They called it Bethlehem or Bethlehem. And that was the meaning of that is the house of bread. That's what it means. Jesus was literally born in the house of bread to become the bread of life. Now look at the text. Look at verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The first thing that we're going to see on our outline today is this. We have a need, a Savior. Jesus is the bread of life. We needed a Savior. And he says, "I am the bread of life." In fact, he tells us that in John 6, verse 35. In fact, I've got that on the screen. He says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now, at this Lord's Supper in the upper room, this is Thursday night. Jesus is going to be crucified on Friday. He's going to arise from the grave on Sunday morning in the resurrection. And so he's taking this Seder service that celebrated the Passover lamb and the Passover of Exodus. It was in that style of old covenant law. And so all of the setting is there on the table the way they had always practiced it. And Jesus changes it up. Because what they did not know, they thought it would be like any other Seder service at Passover that they had celebrated. What they didn't understand is that their Savior too, all the world's Savior, was going to be arrested that night, was going to be put on a cross the next day as the Lamb of God paying our sin debt on Calvary. They had no clue. They didn't pick up on it. That's why Peter is in such denial that I'll fight for you and all these different things, having no idea what he was speaking from. He didn't know the gravity of the moment. And so Jesus, when they get to the bread, Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. He's instituting the new covenant of grace from the old covenant of law. And he's saying that the bread, now they instantly would have thought about Exodus chapter 16, if you take notes. In Exodus chapter 16, you remember what happened? Well, first of all, they're complaining to Moses and Aaron. They're saying, "We're out here in this wilderness. There's not anything to eat." And the Lord brings quail, and he brings this stuff called, what is it? Y'all remember that? It's manna. They end up calling it manna. And he sends this bread from heaven. And it's like coriander, and it tastes like honey. It's like a size of a coriander seed, and it's like a frost on the ground. And then there's a lot more to that, how you had to gather it, lest it spoil, and all those different things. But I want to concentrate on the bread side of it. By the way, did you know that he gave them that bread for how many years? 40 years. Y'all are a smart church. And Sam, you're leading the way, brother. And 40 years they ate this frost. They ate this bread from heaven. It was manna bread. I mean, everything was manna, manna pudding, manna nut bread, everything. It was manna for 40 full years. But it was a picture that you had to have. What you couldn't gather up enough for the whole week. You only gathered what you needed for that day, or it would perish, it would spoil. It's a picture of what we have in Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, the true bread from heaven that comes to give us life. And even as Christians, I mean, I got saved in that hotel nearly 30 years ago, and I still have to eat of that bread every single day. Now, real quickly, look at John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 6. And then I'm going to move pretty quick from there. I want to share an illustration of something with you. The Bible says in verse 26 of John chapter 6, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Speaking of feeding the 5,000, five loaves and two fish. Then he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, verse 29 is powerful, but you can't really catch its power until you see verse 28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" That's a good question. You know, they grew up in an age of works. What should we do? What do we do, Jesus, that we can work the works of God? We want to have this bread. We want to be eternally right with you. We want to be eternally right with God. Show us the work. That's how their minds thought. Show us something to do. Is it pray every morning? Is it go to a church every single day? You show us what to do. And Jesus answers the question in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That you believe in him whom he sent. Now I want to illustrate that. Verse 32 says this. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." That was manna. He says, "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now I want to illustrate this bread. Okay. I got some bread. Now, I got two loaves right here. This loaf right here, I thought, can you zoom in on that, Sharon? I thought that this was pepper in the bread. Can y'all see that black spots on here? That's like sesame seeds. And this bread represents the body of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross for our sin, Jesus was the innocent Lamb of God. Jesus was without sin. And when he died on the cross, he took our sin upon his body. You can see that in the little black spots that are in it. So when Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, when they nail him to the cross and they stand him up, the Father, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus now is bearing our sin in his body, and all that sin. Now think about it. Did you sin this week? Have you sinned yesterday? Have you sinned today? Any rebellion, anything that it might be, any time in your life? Jesus saw it from the foundation of the world. He has seen every single one of us. He has seen your sins individually. He has seen my sins individually. And he's took all of that sin, any sin this week, any sin of today, any sin of tomorrow, and he had to take every bit of it from the time that you're little bitty till the time that you die in order for the cross to be sufficient to overcome your sin debt. He saw your future, he saw your present, and he absorbed every bit of it in his body. Now multiply that times every single person in the whole wide world in every generation. No wonder Jesus felt so forsaken of the Father in that 3-hour period on the cross. And he says, this is all I ask of you. All I ask of you is admit that I bore your sin. Admit that you're a sinner. Acknowledge and confess that you're a sinner. And in our pride, what do? In our pride, we want to act like we're a loaf of bread without any sin in it. In our pride, we want God to think, I'm a good person. Everything is fine with me. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as Kevin. Kevin, you're a whole lot better than I am. I'm not as bad as that person. We start comparing ourselves to others, don't we? It's the propensity of our sin. That in and of itself is sin. And so Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much, I'm taking every single bit of it, and it's going to be in my body, and then I'm going to give my body on the cross. I remember one time we had a Lord's Supper, and Barry Smith had built the body of Jesus to where you can see us taking of the body. And Robin Brooks, where is Robin Brooks? Robin, would you come up here, please? Do you have sugar diabetes or anything? Okay. Now, this loaf, before Robin takes of some of this bread, now I've already talked to Robin, so she's already agreed to this, just in case you're getting worried. Uh-oh, I hope Bruce never does that to me. And this is a real loaf of bread. It's fresh out of Brookshire's, and it doesn't have the sin in it. You see, when Jesus, can you hold the real loaf? When Jesus died on the cross, you see the baptistry below the cross? The baptistry is a picture of the cemetery. Jesus had all that sin, my sin, your sin, in his body being judged by the Father, and then he died because the judgment against sin was death. There was no other rule. It was death. The soul that sinneth shall die. Jesus took our sin so that he would die instead of us, and then he was buried. That baptistry is a picture of a cemetery. That sin with his body was buried in that tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus came out of the grave without the sin. In his resurrection, the sin stayed down because he had already paid for it. Why bring the sin back up, what you've already paid for? It's been paid in full. He came up now with a gift. He's saying, I offer you my life. I've already paid your sin debt. Just believe it. I paid it 2,000 years ago. You got to take of me. You've got to receive of me. You got to receive me inwardly, spiritually. You've got to eat of me. This is my body. Take and eat. In other words, believe in me. And Robin, symbolically, now when we went to Israel, she loved all the breads that were over there, I can tell you. So I know she'll like this. Take one of these pieces. You don't have to eat the heel. And this bread, and you can go ahead and eat it. It's a picture of receiving Jesus as your Savior. I wish I could eat that too because I'm hungry, but I can't. And so when you eat the bread, is it good?
It is good.
That's what it's like when you receive Jesus. It's good. It's the bread that satisfies. Now, when you eat the bread, what you're doing is... Yes, thank you so much. By the way, I don't know if you saw the sign, Robin, but you're not supposed to eat in the sanctuary. I shouldn't have said that. It just came to me. I couldn't help it. And so, thank you so much, Robin. So when you what Robin is doing is physically eating bread to show inwardly what we do spiritually. You can't just acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You have to accept him into your heart. You have to say more than just acknowledge. You have to say, Jesus, I believe in you to the point that my life is going to change. I believe in you to the point that I'm going to eat of you every single day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to, when I need spiritual sustenance, I'm going to find it in the bread of life. I'm going to find it in the Word of God. Because I'm going to receive you to the point of salvation. I'm going to eat of you in belief. That's God's work. You'll never be good enough. If you try to be good enough, you'll forever be trying to be good enough because you never will be good enough. You have to eat of the bread of life. Now let's move quickly. What's the next thing? We needed a Savior. Jesus is the bread of life. We needed a substitute. Jesus' blood is the cup of eternal forgiveness. Look at verse 23. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. Now he's going to institute the new covenant in the blood. Watch this, verse 24. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." Which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And then they sang the hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, I want to show you a verse on the screen. And if you didn't get all your words filled in, it's a substitute. Jesus' blood is the cup of eternal forgiveness. This is John 6:53. He's still been talking about the bread and what the miracle meant. And then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now, naturally, we don't eat his flesh and drink literal blood. The picture there is we've got to live because he gave his life for us. We eat of what he did at Calvary. We got to live because our sins have been atoned for by blood. And he says, if your sins have not been atoned for by blood, there's not going to be any life in you. I want to ask you, if Jesus, well, let's just put it like this. If you walked out of this door, and let's just be very honest with ourselves. Don't think about anybody else. Think about yourself. If you walked out of this door today, and you were killed or you just died suddenly for whatever reason, are you confident in your heart that you're going to be with the Lord in heaven? If there's no confidence, if there's no assurance, and if you say to yourself, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person, and I'm this, I'm that, I wish I could say that would get you there, but it won't. Don't leave this place today not knowing Jesus as your Savior. I thank God. I was talking to somebody the other day and remembering my past before I got saved. And there's times I would get places that I didn't even know how I got there. I'd be so drunk. I'd wake up in bar parking lots and I would have to look at signs to figure out what town I was in. And I think about those days and I think how easily it would have been for me to have died in a car accident or any other number of things. And I'm so grateful. That's why I don't take salvation or the cross for granted. When I speak of the gospel to you, this isn't old hat cliche. This isn't just old hat Bible stuff. Let me tell you what this is. This is life everlasting. This is your way of forgiveness. This is your way of making heaven. This is your way of having hope in a dark world. This is your way of having joy when the whole world doesn't seem very joyful right now. This is your way of having peace in your heart. It's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And I'm so thankful that he loved me enough because I didn't think anybody could love me. I didn't think God could save me. I thought I was too far gone that he would even care about Bruce Rudd. But I learned in that hotel room that night that he is alive. And that's our last point is this, number three. our need. We need a Savior. We need a substitute, and we need His resurrection. His resurrection to activate His invitation to receive Him. It's very powerful. Look at verse 27. Then Jesus said to them all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, the resurrection changed everything. He says, I'm going to go before you to Galilee. And Peter, that's when he goes to speaking, and he says, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that today, even this night, Jesus saying tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you, Lord. And they all started saying the same thing that night. You remember what happens? Peter's over there by the fire warming himself. He denies Jesus. And he denies him again. And a few minutes later, he denies him the third time, and he hears something. Y'all remember what he heard? Rooster went to crowing. And when he heard that rooster crow, conviction hit. He went away sorrowful. I tell you, I bet you every time the rooster crowed after that day, especially after he met Jesus on the shore and Jesus forgave him and Jesus restored him and strengthened him, I'll bet you anything that every time a rooster crowed, he thought about that. But you know what happened after the resurrection? After the resurrection, he's willing to die for him in reality. So was all the rest. Do you know why? Because they had seen the dead Savior and they had seen the living Savior. And Jesus says, because I live, you'll live also. Where that word's the song, because he lives, is the inspiration from that verse. It's very powerful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to take of the Lord's Supper. We do not have closed communion here. We believe that the Lord's Supper was instituted for all believers. I will not stand between man and God. You are welcome to take of the Lord's Supper. That's something he instituted, not me, and I'm glad to facilitate it. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to take of the bread and cup today, something you instituted, such a sacred moment, such a sovereign moment that we have this morning. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us individually, Lord, each one of you, just as I'm doing in my heart. You ask for forgiveness of your sin. Don't come to this table in an unworthy manner. Don't do it. Come to this table and recognize that you have a sin issue and then say, Lord Jesus, you may be born again and say, I'm born again, but there's been sin in my life and I've been justifying it. I've been messing with it and walking around it and everything else as if it's not that bad. But Lord, today I acknowledge that it is sin and it's offensive to you, and I ask that you cover it with your blood today. And Lord Jesus, I want to get back to hungering and thirsting for your word, to reading it, to studying it, and living for you with that peace and that hope I can have on a daily basis. Lord, do in our hearts today what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.